Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your Sports Bros Tuesday. We had a three-day weekend. Hope you did too.
Sada.
Maybe you didn't.
I think a lot of people did not.
No?
No.
Well, you and I did.
Yes, we did. The national guys had to work.
The national radio guys?
Yeah, Colin was on and...
Well, wow. Yeah, in your face, national radio guys. It's better to be a local guy.
Yeah.
Pays more.
Paychecks are exactly the same, right?
Well, hey, we're here for you today. We'll be here for you all week.
We got you covered.
It's Comic-Con week. We'll be out at the convention center, hopefully interviewing Jason Momoa on Friday.
I wouldn't count on it, though.
Yeah, probably not.
If we do interview him, I do believe I will tell him, though, that he's the best-looking man on the planet.
I would like to see him come over to our set because I think that you and he would be radio magic together.
We'd bro out together a little bit.
I just feel like...
Would my man crush just floweth at that point? I don't think I could contain myself.
Well, I just let it go, man.
Yeah, just let...
Who cares?
He's used to it at this point, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I just feel like you guys would have a lot in common. I don't know. He just seems like your kind of guy, and I think he would get you. And then that way I could... Just sit back and let you guys talk.
Well, then maybe we'd become best friends and you
not
know,
do anything.
Like get an apartment together.
Get a cell.
That'd be great.
Start texting.
Rock climbing together. Oh,
Chase.
Wait. No.
What are you doing?
I think he like rock climbs and like does, he's one of those guys. He's like an adventure sort of fella.
Well, that's definitely not you.
No. I'm not made for.
So maybe it'll be a disaster. I don't know.
Not made for rock climbing.
Tune in on Friday to find out. So what do we have here? Let's see. Manny Machado talk coming up here this hour.
It's good to be Manny Machado. It's about to be good to be Bryce Harper. Although, I think it probably still is good to be Bryce Harper.
I also have an old man sports complaint from the weekend.
Yeah, Rob's going to yell at a cloud a little bit later on.
And then in the club tonight, we have, well, it's Oscar week. Got an Oscar note.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk about why John Wayne is trending.
Boy, that, although I don't know why this is news now. Like, this thing's been out for a long time.
And I've got a TV note, because you know that's what I'm into.
Sure.
TV. And I'm going to drop that on you in the club.
And there's a Mike Tyson story here that I would like to discuss. Someone sent this to us, and I'm not sure I buy it, but it's possible.
That's the one where he wanted to fight a gorilla?
Yeah, man versus animal. That's not real.
No, it's not real.
No, that's the most ridiculous thing
you
of
can't,
all time.
I don't care if you're Mike Tyson. You can't fight a silverback gorilla.
No.
You will be ripped apart.
I need to talk about Mike Tyson in general because I feel like he is the most overvalued athlete of my generation, of my lifetime.
Overvalued?
He's not that good.
You mean he wasn't that good?
No.
Or he...
Both.
I mean, because he doesn't fight anymore.
No, he wasn't that good.
Oh.
He's the most overhyped athlete, I think, of my lifetime.
Well, that sounds like a sports segment.
Yeah, that is kind of sportsy.
Maybe I'll throw that in the sports notes.
Yeah, I just... There was an interesting... Mike, see if you can go pull the Teddy
pull
Atlas
it, Mike.
Clip, right?
Pull
get,
it.
Get Teddy Atlas talking about Mike Tyson, about how Mike Tyson wasn't a great fighter. He's the first one that's had the balls to say it, and it's about time that Tyson is... He gets the reputation as being this all-time great heavyweight, and he's just not.
Well, my.
Look through anyone that he beat, and when he fought real fighters, he didn't just lose. He got his ass kicked. Bad. He was a scary guy that beat up a bunch of palookas because he could punch real hard. But when he got in with real fighters, Vander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, they beat him. I mean, he was a joke.
Also, we have another sports note this hour that we need to get to is CJ Anderson talking about Todd Gurley in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. He opened up a little bit about that. So that's all coming up, folks. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Seriously?
I like turtles.
Hello?
Oh, no! We suck again!
Nope.
Number five.
Yeah, turn on the mic there.
Got a few little college football notes for you here. One is that former North Carolina coach Larry Fedora is back in coaching.
Oh, great. Seems like a wonderful human being.
He has been hired as an offensive analyst for Texas.
This is kind of the new thing where like the...
The Longhorn.
Yeah, the head coaches, they're not really assistants because when you're like a consultant, you can't coach. But you can be involved in game planning and coach the coaches.
Grad transfer quarterback Josh Jackson, he played at Virginia Tech. He is transferring to Maryland. New coach Mike Loxley gets him. Jackson started 3 games before suffering a season-ending injury last September, but the year before he was pretty damn good. Or I guess, you know, by Virginia Tech quarterback standards.
Yeah.
So he's going to Maryland.
I also saw, too, that Clemson may lose their starting tight end. He's going to go be a Navy SEAL.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting. You don't see that very often.
Good for him.
Yeah. Said he's always wanted to do it.
Number 4.
So Dabo said that he's going to hang around the program, but they don't expect him back.
Critical 7-game road trip awaits your Portland Trailblazers after the All-Star festivities over the weekend. Damian Lillard, he had 18 yesterday in helping Team LeBron rally to the win over Team Giannis. Lillard and Seth Curry were both bounced from the 3-point competition, if you didn't see it. First up on the big trip is going to be a game in Brooklyn on Thursday. That'll be followed by Philadelphia Saturday. Then it's on to Cleveland, Boston, Toronto, Charlotte, and Memphis.
And there's some tough ones in there, too. I mean, that's not an easy trip.
The Blazers are 4th in the West. They're just a game up on Houston and 2 up on Utah and San Antonio. And what's crazy is, like, you know, we spend all this time talking about, you know, the Trailblazers throughout the course of the season. It kind of only just starts now. You know, because
yeah.
They've got new players they got to work in. And it's a totally different team. Lehman has come out of nowhere.
What
so
is
it's
there
like,
roughly 25, 30 left, something like that.
It's just so hard to, you know, to break down these teams in November, December, and even January. It's like they just change so much over the course of the season.
And the championship teams, like you said, right now, and it's already started with Golden State, but you're going to see teams. It'll go to a different gear. You're starting to get more playoff atmospheres in regular season games.
2 weeks in, and the Alliance of American Football already needs a cash infusion, or does it?
Yeah, they're denying the report.
Reports from The Athletic, after 2 weeks of pretty good TV ratings, the league was close to missing payroll due to a lack of cash. And that's where Carolina Panthers owner, and that is of the NHL, Tom Dundon, who... he stepped in and he generously invested a cool $250 million.
Yeah, I don't know if investing $250 million in a minor league startup league is a great investment, but he's a billionaire. He's got it. And they guess someone did miss payroll, but they're the AAF, right? Alliance of American Football. They're claiming it was just a glitch in the system.
Well, they were switching payroll carriers.
Yeah, they're claiming that, no, we were fine.
Businessy things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this guy... Dundon is going to be named the new league chairman. Now, Charlie Ebersol is the co-founder and CEO of the league. He says they're not in need of cash. The story is wrong. He said as a startup, you know, as many startups do, they raise money in series. And due to the early success of the league, Dundon's offer was one that the league just could not refuse.
Or they were going under just 2 weeks in and desperately needed someone to bail their ass out.
My bad. I said Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Hurricanes.
I wrote that down wrong. Yeah, Carolina Hurricanes of the NHL. Okay, Steelers and Antonio Brown will be parting ways. Not that anybody thought that they wouldn't, but he met with Art Rooney II, Steelers owner, over the weekend. And he says they talked over several issues and agreed to move on amicably. Brown then tweets, "If your squad want to win, someone hit my phone." He goes on to say, "I ain't doing no unguarantees. If your team not guaranteed money, tell them not to call me."
And more importantly, he's now not to be known as AB. He's supposed to be known as Mr. Big Chest. I don't even know what that means, but
I have a feeling.
Apparently Mr. Big Chest.
Let's do it. I know what that means.
What's that?
Oh. Number one. Boobs, bro.
He has them or he likes them?
I don't know.
Mr. Big Chest.
He's weird and needs to go away, in my opinion. The Manny Machado-Bryce Harper stare down is officially over, and Machado blinks first. He today has signed with the San Diego Padres.
Though I haven't seen anything official, but I mean, everyone's reporting it.
So maybe he hasn't.
Well, it got reported earlier today, and then like right after that, the Padres like sent out a message saying this isn't done. But I guess they're just, I'm sure this is just language. All signs pointing to what, 10 years, $300 million.
Yep. Fully guaranteed, which is the largest in the history of American sports. 10 years, $300 million. He's 26, is Machado. There is an opt-out after year five.
Which he won't take because, well, he's going to make $300 million.
Yeah, and by all reports, it seems that Machado just basically went with the team that offered the most money. And now we'll see what Bryce Harper does. If you look at WAR, which is wins above replacement, from 2013 to this past season, Machado is sixth in baseball in that category. He's tied with Joey Votto.
Yeah. He's
Trout's number one. Josh Donaldson is in there at number two, which is kind of weird. Paul Goldschmidt, three. Mookie Betts, four. Altuve, five. And then Votto and Machado. So he's a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's Mookie Betts, but dude, he plays a gold glove. Third base. He hits for power. I saw that. I think he's.
Well, doesn't he want to play shortstop too?
Yeah, he plays shortstop. But either way, I mean, the guy plays a gold glove infield. He hits for power. He's got a good average. He's a star. He's a 26-year-old star. I don't think that he's. I don't know if anyone outside of Bryce Harper, or excuse me, Mike Trout, is worth $300 million. But you got both guys that are 26 years old, and they're both going to sign $300 million deals. The report is now that Bryce Harper wants more than Machado, obviously. And, you know, he could be in the neighborhood of 320 or 330.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Let's come back and talk about the Manny Machado to Yankee rumors starting already. And what C.J. Anderson says about Todd Gurley and why he wasn't effective in the playoffs. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Big bonanza, blockbuster, baseball, brouhaha.
How many bees can you throw in there?
Today.
It's a bonanza of cash.
10 years, $300 million for Manny Machado. He's going to the Padres, which kind of comes out of nowhere, which basically means you can cue the Manny Machado to Yankee rumors any minute now, right?
Well, a lot of times with these big deals, you know, they get dealt. You get 2 years into this and a small market team, not that San Diego is necessarily small market, but it's not the Yankees, the Red Sox, realize that it's not equating to wins and losses or butts in the seats. And then you end up with Stanton being dealt to the Yankees.
So $300 million gives him $30 million a year. The other 12 Padre veterans that they have on that roster combined make $266 million.
And 144 of that is Moustakas, right?
Well, Moustakas signed with the Brewers, but you're talking about Hosmer.
Oh, excuse me. I'm getting my...
All the great Royals.
Yes, there's just so many of them.
It's hard to keep them all straight. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Hosmer was their highest paid guy. So, yeah, they have $266 million committed to 12 guys, and then now they have $300 million committed to one. So it's interesting. There's also this talk that maybe the Padres aren't out of the Bryce Harper sweepstakes either. Which is crazy.
Well, that's a lot of cake because he's asking, supposedly, the whole thing was there was a staring contest between the two. Machado got to 300. I guess the White Sox weren't quite willing to go, 10 years into the 300. There were some offers of, 8 years, 240-ish?
Yeah, the White Sox offered him more per year.
Yeah.
But
they didn't want the 10 years, and he wanted to get to the $300 million, and now Harper supposedly wants to not only tick off the highest per season, which would be Machado, but he wants the total value, which would be Stanton. I think Stanton's was 12 years, 325 that he signed with the Marlins before they dealt him. And I guess Harper's looking for more than that and may get it. They say that Harper likely will sign here in the next day or two.
Well, the interesting thing about this deal is Machado's only 26. You know, in the last big one of these that was signed, well, it wasn't the last one, but one of the big high-profile ones was Pujols, 10 years, $240 million, but he was much older.
But we went through these, and the vast majority of these big, giant contracts, from Ryan Howard to Miguel Cabrera to Zach Greinke, Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, Stantons, they have not, Matt Kemp's, these have not fared very well over the history of baseball.
Well, the baseball ones certainly haven't. Some do, some don't. It's just that, yeah, it's like, it's just a lot of freaking money to live up. It's just so hard to live up to these deals.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, God, Manny Machado could be really stinking good for the next 10 years, but if the Padres, you know, don't do a lot in the playoffs or don't win a World Series, are we going to look back and say, well, that wasn't worth it?
Let me ask you, is he one of the five best players in baseball?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, best?
No.
I think he is talent-wise. I mean, his talent is... His problem is he's kind of got a bad rep in terms of just he's a little immature, you know, lazy. You know, what they say, he got a lot of flack for...
Not running out balls.
Not running out ground balls at first base. But I think just raw talent-wise, yeah, he's a top-five guy. Does that mean he's one of the best players? Probably not. I mean, you'd go Betts, Altuve, Trout, Kershaw maybe.
Yeah, if you're going to throw
Scherzer's in there.
It's just a...
You want to take a stab at his career batting average by chance?
Machado?
280-ish maybe.
282.
And what?
That's good, but it's not top five player in baseball.
280, maybe 28 and 95. What are his career averages?
Career average is... Wait, where did that go? 31 home runs and 90 RBIs.
All right. Hey, the guy's...
But again, he's only 26.
Yeah, the guy's a star.
Great glove.
In baseball, one guy, we've seen this time and time again, one guy does not take a bad or an average team and make them great. The best player in baseball, Mike Trout, is wallowing in California, not doing crap on a terrible Angels team, on an irrelevant one, and he's twice the player that Machado is. So I guess if you're the Padres and you think you're ready to pop and you're going to go on this spending spree, I just, more often than not, again, you see these big, giant, bloated contracts, and they're just not worth it, especially when it's not a transcendent talent. And I'm not saying that Machado isn't great. Clearly, he's a star, but I think there's a difference between a star and a transcendent talent. It's like in the NBA, if you want to pay LeBron James $40 million or $30 million, it's worth every dime of it. Kevin Durant is. But you go down to that next level, the John Walls of the world, when Joe Johnson at one point was the highest paid guy in the NBA. And I think you're in sketchy territory, especially when you're in a sport where one guy doesn't elevate a roster like in other sports.
Well, he'll put butts in the seats for sure. I'm sure in San Diego there's a buzz, you know. It's kind of like the Cano contract in Seattle, 10 years, $240 million. It's like, you know, there is value in terms of just to the bottom line of what these guys mean, how fans view the team now, the relevance of it.
And that's my question.
And there's a buzz.
Is he a star? Like,
I think he is, yeah.
Well, I'm just going to – this is MLB.com edited this year, top 100 players in baseball. Machado, for reference, is number 14.
So, like, Arenado was probably above him.
Yeah, it goes Trout, Mookie Betts, Nolan Arenado, Frankie Lindor, Max Scherzer, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Christian Yelich, Jose Ramirez, Jacob deGrom, and so on and so forth.
Forgot about Yelich.
Yeah.
He really popped.
MVP.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's right there. The guy's legit. Yeah. It's just that your point is duly noted. It's like, you know, there's only in baseball, this is not like, you know, elite quarterbacks in the NFL or elite players in the NBA. You just have to pay them and you have to have those guys to win championships. In baseball, you don't have to have those guys. You don't have to pay those guys. I mean, you do have to. I mean, it's like this. The Astros... The model is you draft well, you get them while they're cheap, and then you move on, right? And that's how the Astros did it. That's how the Royals did it.
Yeah.
Because once those guys all come up for contracts,
you can't afford to pay everybody.
That's when they're no longer worth it. They're great players, but you get the best value with them, kind of like with NFL quarterbacks on rookie deals. You get the best value with them when they're young and they haven't hit their big contracts. So you let somebody else pay that, and then you reset your... You reset your draft picks, you know, and that's how it's being built with a lot of, I mean, the Cubs even did this, you know, so yeah, it's just $300 million is so much. I don't know that there's a player in baseball that you can say is definitely worth that. In other words, if the Astros got rid of Altuve, if the Red Sox got rid of Betts, because they're just like, ah, you know, $30 million, we can spread that out so much over the rest of our roster.
Well, that's
that
my
yes, they're great players, but we'll let somebody else pay him $35 million a year.
A lot of money that you can fill in other gaps. And I would ask the question, like, when you go through and look at Machado and what his numbers are, what could you do? Could you get 3 to 4 guys for the price that you're paying him and fill in that production or fill out a bullpen for what you're paying that? And it's not like, you know, these teams have unlimited payrolls, obviously. And it's just such a steep cost and what it hamstrings you with. And if he's worth 30, if Bryce Harper gets, let's say Bryce Harper gets 35, what does Trout and Betts get when they come up?
Well, Trout could be approaching $40 million a year. So I don't know about Betts, but I think Trout could get that. The Padres, you know, you got to remember too, the Padres have a good up and coming team. I mean, they don't have a lot of payroll outside of Hosmer and now Machado. They just signed Ian Kinsler, but they have 4 of the top 27 prospects in baseball, and they have 10 of the top 92.
Well, they're going to get to grow with Machado because he's there for 10 years.
Yeah, it's interesting how they're doing it. But, I mean, name a Padres starting pitcher.
No, I don't think I can. Anybody?
Clayton Richard? Still there?
No.
I love that the inflection in the voice.
Clayton. Seriously, I mean, name one.
I ain't got
I'm looking at who they're running out there, at least according to MLB.com. They've got that kid, I don't know how you pronounce his name. Is it Joey Lucchesi?
Yeah, probably.
Sure, let's go with that.
He started 26 games last year, was okay.
Well, I mean, I guess that Manny Machado will be on the every marketing material they have. Come watch Manny Machado play.
They've got Eric Lauer, 23-year-old lefty, started last year, 23 games. Okay.
Someone's asking if Trevor Hoffman is still pitching.
Some guy named Erlen.
Yeah, he was decent last year.
Robbie Erlen. Nix. Jacob Nix.
Wait,
his ERA was mere 7.
You mean Jason and Lance Nix? There's their long lost brother.
Is he the one that no hit the Mariners or came close to no hitting the Mariners?
Well, yeah. It said he was 2-5 with a 7.02 ERA. Yeah, so I'm guessing no.
No, but I remember that he. I don't know. I think he took a no hitter into the 7th or the 8th against the Mariners last year. Yeah, I remember that.
Maybe they're tanking. Maybe they're just we'll get Machado and then we'll tank.
They got Garrett Richards as a free agent this year.
Did they?
Or last year.
I didn't see that.
Wasn't he coming off Tommy John? Or
yeah, that guy can't stay healthy.
He blew out his arm last year again. So
unlikely to pitch in 19, roster resource tells
Yeah, there you go. I was pretty sure that he had Tommy John.
Well, it's interesting. Padres get Machado. We'll see where Harper goes. Probably within the next couple of days, his agent's putting the screws to those teams. Probably the Phillies, you think?
That seems to be the odds-on favorite is the Phils.
All right, coming up next, what C.J. Anderson says about Todd Gurley. Was he hurt in the playoffs? Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, watch out for my Padres now with Machado, and they're going back to the poop brown uniforms next year.
Yeah, the Tony Gwynns and the Dave Winfield. So clearly this...
That's a smart move.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think those blues are doing them any justice.
Have you seen the poop browns?
Yeah, I love those. I think they're great.
Wow.
I do. And the owner said that they're gonna kind of change it up. It's not going to be like the old brown and yellows.
Yeah.
It's going to be mostly white with some brown and
so just like updated versions. They'll go back, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're not throwing out the, like when the Astros went back, right? They went back to their traditional colors, but didn't do like the starburst rainbow unis.
I just can't handle the Padres as being navy blue.
Yeah, but at the same time, realize that brown and yellow is the worst color combination in the history of sports. See the Wyoming Cowboys.
It's pretty ugly, but I tell you what.
You don't see a lot of people out and about wearing brown and yellow.
Here's what's weird about it, is Wyoming, when you bring up the Wyoming Cowboys, I think, oh my God, that's the ugliest uniform of all time.
Yeah, they're horrific.
But then when I think of the Padres, I think it's cool, and it's the same colors. It's weird. I think the Padres, the old poo brown Padres are cool looking.
Now, I do miss the little Friar logo. the guy swinging the little Friar Tuck swinging the bat, that I'm on board with. But more, you go back and look at some of the photos of their old school unis.
I'm down, man.
That stuff is horrific. It's not quite as bad as the Pirates when they did like the stovetop hats. Remember those?
Yes. And the White Sox shorts.
That may be the worst idea in the history of sports. Watching Carlton Fisk squat in a pair of softball shorts and knee highs. Boy, let me tell you what, those are some gams.
Well, we don't know what was going on with Todd Gurley in the playoffs.
No.
In the Super Bowl.
And we may never know, but one person says that he was healthy.
Who's that?
CJ Anderson.
Well, he said he was hurt.
No, CJ said that he was healthy in the playoffs.
Well, he's come out today and said he was hurt.
I listened to the interview today. Said he was hurt when he got there, but said that Gurley was a go during the playoffs. That there was nothing wrong with him. As far as he knew, he was healthy.
Okay. This says CJ Anderson says Todd Gurley. Ah, got you. Okay. He says when he signed with the Rams.
Yes.
He was more hurt than we thought.
Yes. But then
that's what I missed.
He was on with the herd, and he said when he got there, people were, were asking questions about Gurley, and he said that injury was worse than people let on. But once he got the rest, and
because CJ sprained knee.
Yeah. Because CJ said when he got there, he didn't know that he'd be getting all the carries he did. He didn't think Gurley was that beat up. But he said once the playoffs hit, he said as far as he knew, Gurley was 100%. And he speculated a little bit about why, Gurley, may have struggled, calling out a theory that it was just too many carries, kind of like a baseball guy with a tired arm, but said that as far as he knew, he's 100% healthy. We haven't heard anything else, which makes the Gurley disappearance in the Super Bowl that much stranger.
Is it possible that teams just did a good job on him and then the Rams didn't effectively try to get him going? I mean, is it possible that we're kind of overthinking this and that the Rams just went away from him? They had CJ Anderson, and they were just like, you know what?
It's odd because he was the best back in football all year. And so for him to just, he was really effective against the Cowboys.
But see, I thought in the Super Bowl, I thought they just flat out went away from him.
Yeah.
In a sense that, yes, sometimes early going, it's, it takes some time to get going with the run game a little bit. And they just, I don't remember how many carries he got in the Super Bowl, but
I think he had 8 or 9 touches.
It felt to me like they just went away from him. And if they would have stuck with him, it almost sort of felt like there was a moment in the game. Maybe this is revisionist history, but I seem to remember thinking, oh, Gurley's kind of getting going here.
He had the one big run, but it got called back due to it might have been a hold.
And then they just pull him off the field.
Well, they didn't run the ball very effectively because they weren't getting first down. So no. CJ Anderson had 7 carries for 22 and Gurley had 10 for 35. So the run game in general just didn't go anywhere, period. But the fact that they weren't having any success and they only ended up with 18 carries total seems a bit odd for the number one rushing team in the NFL. But a lot of that is when you don't convert third downs, you don't get many opportunities to run the football because you're just not on the field. It's not like they were throwing the ball 60 times, but there just wasn't any balance. They could not run the ball at all. And for a lot of people, myself included, I just will never understand why in the playoffs, minus that Cowboy game, that you just decided to go away from who had proven to be the best back all year and the best weapon you had on your football team.
Okay, here are his postseason numbers. Total. 30 carries, 160 yards, which is almost 5.5 yards a carry.
Yep.
That is not bad.
Most of that coming against the Cowboys.
Well, exactly, but this is my point. 30 carries, 160 yards, an average of 5.3 yards per carry. None of that is out of the ordinary. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But he only got 4 carries against the Saints. 4.
Yep.
And then 10 against New England. In other words, all I'm saying is there a chance that maybe, so Dallas, it was 16 carries, 115 yards. Is there a chance that they just didn't give him the ball enough?
But that to me makes no sense. I just don't understand. And I get that he had a rough start to the Saints game, which is why I wonder if maybe there isn't some drama behind the scenes. I don't think he was hurt. I really don't. I think that there was something to a rift. Something happened between McVay and Gurley. I don't know, you know, Gurley malcontent, if there was locker room issues, if he wasn't practicing hard, whatever. I think that was a little bit of a purpose pitch, and I think it bit the Rams right in the ass.
I just wonder if they gave Gurley more run, stuck with him, hard-headed, like the Seahawks offensive coordinator got bashed for.
Yeah.
If the Rams aren't Super Bowl champs.
I think I would have been interested to know if you could have told McVay that it was going to be a low-scoring, slug-it-out sort of game, right? Like, hey, points are going to be at a premium here. I think he takes a different game plan. I think he thought coming in that he could throw the ball on New England, and he couldn't. I think he got exposed.
Well, the reality is with them, and it's crazy to think that a coach doesn't see this, but you take away their play action. In other words, if they don't have a run game, it's no play action. They have nothing.
No,
the Rams have nothing.
And that's what the Patriots did.
And so how does McVay not make a more concerted effort to stick with the run game when you have the best back in the, one of the best backs in the league, knowing that you, that if they shut, if you go away from that, you're dead.
I'll tell you, outside
you're,
of...
Then you're relying on Jared Goff just to make him plays.
We talked about this day after the Super Bowl. That, to me, will go down as one of the more puzzling game plans that I've ever seen in a big-time football game. Right up there with the Raiders and the Buccaneers, and the Raiders just not changing anything, and John Gruden knowing the entire game plan, checks, audibles, all of that. That's the worst, but... I really do think that this will go down as one of the more perplexing, let's just call it what it is, poor coaching jobs from a guy that supposedly was an offensive genius. I don't know if the moment got to him or not, or if it was a choke job. If players can choke, maybe coaches can choke, because it's just, it's bewildering.
Or Belichick, that guy, Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Or he's just pretty good.
I still believe that if you got the mic away from them, that Flores and Belichick are stunned that the Rams did not have a counter to what New England was doing.
I can't even imagine.
All right. Coming up next, do I get to bitch? Will you guys let me bitch?
What do you want to bitch about?
Well, I had an old man thought today, or over the weekend when I was watching sports.
Yeah, I want to listen to you yell at a cloud, so please.
Yeah, it's very old manny.
Come back and show me how old manny that you are.
Yeah, because I have... I think I've pulled an example from each sport that I watched over the weekend.
I'm old. I am dying.
Like, man.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's what it is. It's today's athletes, and this does not bother me. It really doesn't. But today's athletes could not be any more out of touch with us common folk.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to come back and yell at the clouds. I'm now excited about this.
So I've got a golf example. Why are you laughing?
There's nothing more old.
Because I think you're going to agree with
me. There's nothing more old manny than you yelling about young athletes, especially in the game of golf.
It's not really young athletes. It's today's athletes. Okay. Some of these guys are my age.
All right.
But just the money, man. And I think you're going to agree with me.
All right.
But I've got a golf example, a basketball example, a football example. I don't watch hockey and I don't care about hockey. So there's probably one, but I don't have one.
Well, you can yell
and a baseball example.
You can yell at the clouds and maybe I'll bitch about the wind or something. Let's do this.
All right, that's next on The Fan.
Hell no.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the club is coming up in 15 minutes where we will talk about club stuff, including John Wayne and why he is trending today. And he's still dead.
Yeah.
Not alive.
No, super dead. I love that something from 1971 is causing people outrage in the fact that he's a dead guy.
A lot of outrage out there these days, man.
Yeah, we've got to go back and we got to get pissed about stuff that we weren't pissed out before. But now, even though the information's been out there, like 50 years later, now we get all pissed about it.
Let me add to the outrage, if I may.
Sure.
Because, you know, as you get older, as you well know, you're now well into your 40s, almost 50 by now.
Yeah, a couple months into my 40s.
You know how it is, man. You're feeling it. You start to see things like the old man, you know, like you can't help it. It's just you get older and you just start viewing things. Well, it's just you, but you're just getting older and you've got that experience of all those years of watching and growing up. And
well, you think you're smarter and you think that everyone else is dumber is what it is. You know, you've had 40 years on this planet. So
oh, I don't think that's true. I think
how could anyone have your vast array of knowledge?
I hope you're speaking generally, because I certainly don't think.
No,
I'm
not talking about you. I'm saying old people in general think that because they've been on the planet, they think they're smarter than everyone else.
I don't think that. I just think that you kind of become smarter than everyone else. You've lived long enough.
Ooh, boy,
you look at it's not everybody. I'm just saying, like,
young
you
dumb
look at,
people just turn into old dumb people.
You just look at, you know, years of experience, and you know, if you're paying attention, you get a lot of wisdom from that. You know. And as you get older, unfortunately, no matter how much you try to stop it, you won't. You'll just have old man thoughts.
Sure.
And here is one.
Yeah, get ready to yell at some clouds.
Because I was watching my sports, which I love so much, over the weekend. And in each sport that I watched or each story that I read, I was continually going back to how out of touch today the modern sort of athlete is from us. Example number one, I'm watching golf, and they're on there talking about, I don't know if you saw the tournament, you probably didn't, but it
no,
was the Genesis Open, and they were playing this is at Riviera in LA, and great course, one of the best courses in the country, and some of the best golfers in the world are struggling on Sunday, even putting, because it got windy.
Aha.
You ever been to Bandon Dunes?
Yeah, it happens from time to time.
Yeah, wind can be hard to play in. Well, these guys, oh, you would have thought, oh.
The wind.
Oh, the wind. It was like 30 miles an hour, they said. And they couldn't putt, and they were taking their time, and Justin Thomas was missing all these. Oh, they're playing these pristine golf courses in perfect shape for millions of dollars, and they just, oh, it's
the horror of it all.
Fast forward to NBA All-Star Weekend. And I'm watching, and I saw that freaking Anthony Davis played.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. That guy has totally quit on his team. He was supposedly just hurt. He asked for a trade.
He had the shoulder thing.
How must they feel about him going out and playing in the All-Star game? I thought that was a very overlooked element of what happened in sports this weekend, that dude played in that game.
I don't know if I saw that he played in the game.
He played, and that was shocking. And they talked about it on the broadcast a little bit with Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I thought Anthony did. Yeah,
he went out there.
I thought he was
and the Pelicans.
Scratched.
No, the Pelicans have got to be just livid about that.
Well, that whole thing has just been a
right. It was like there's a guy who has totally screwed up. Look, I get a guy wanting to maybe go play somewhere else. But how he has handled that makes him look so out of touch, Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah, he played 5 minutes, and he grabbed one rebound and had 5 points.
Then fast forward to the Antonio Brown story.
Yeah.
Now and I'm reading about this guy.
Insane.
Well, I'm reading about him going, this dude, man, he is really good. He's a really good receiver. But my God, how out of touch is that guy saying, you know, first of all, he's almost – I think he's almost 32, isn't he? He's like 31.
Yeah, he's 30, 31, somewhere in there.
He is not going to get what he thinks he's going to get. And he thinks the world of himself. And he's like, you know, no guarantee. If you don't have guaranteed money, you know,
yeah,
don't even call me. And he's flipping off his whole, dude, the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the best organizations in all of sports. And he's flipping them off, flipping them the double bird, saying, I'm out of here. And then he's practically flipping off his new team too by saying, oh, you know, you better give me a bunch of money, guaranteed money, if you want the best receiver in the game. You know, again, out of touch.
Yeah, he turns 31 in July, and it is true. Like, if you look at his contract, now the Steelers front-loaded it, and the next, you could get him for 3 more years, and it's only at $12 million a year. So, you know, part of this, too, is that he may just be angling for a new deal. He realizes that this is probably the last big contract that he can get, and he doesn't want to play out the remaining 3 years at $12 million per.
Yeah, I mean, I look, his tactics, again, the same as Anthony Davis. I understand maybe what they're trying to get, but again, they could not look any more out of touch, right? And then Manny Machado. This is a guy who gets who's completely polarizing. A lot of people think he's a dirty player.
Well, he just got
he's
done saying that one of the reasons he didn't want to be with the Dodgers is he didn't want to be on the West Coast. Didn't like the West Coast. And yet he just signed.
And so they hand that guy $300 million.
Yeah.
And so I just collectively, I was thinking like an old man this weekend. I was sitting there.
By the way, this may be the most old man thing you've ever done.
I was just sitting
there. You're just throwing it all into one basket.
Well, it happened to occur to me in every single sport, right? It's like the money gap that these guys, like just the, I mean, golf's the worst. The golf is like the most elitist, already disconnected sport from the common guy there is.
Yeah.
But you look at all these other sports now with the money that's being thrown around and what Antonio Brown's life, Anthony Davis's life, Manny Machado's life compared to the fans that watch them and consume their product. It just could not be any more gaping. And I guess my point is that just this weekend, for whatever reason, with all these stories lining
up,
it struck me because maybe it's social media, you know, there's just, we know more about what they're thinking and they sort of try to control their own narratives, albeit very clunkily.
Yeah.
They just are so out of touch, man. And this is why we go back to guys like, well, like John Daly comes to mind, you know, who's really rough around the edges, but owns it and has problems like you and I.
Barkley, maybe. And
Barkley is another one. These are guys that live in that world and make that money, but at the same time, they're so much more relatable. Whereas, God, these guys could not be any less relatable, it seems like, in today's
Well, Bert
sports.
Sugar talked about this, the late, great Bert Sugar. He talked about when he first started covering sports way back when, like listening to the railroads, right? The iron horse trembling through the Badlands. But he talked about when, you know, back in the olden day, there was a rapport between reporters and players because they were viewed kind of as equals, right? And as the salaries grew,
well, they traveled together.
They traveled together,
same
right?
Same trains,
and you know, again, there was a "you need me, I need you" sort of thing. But you're right. As the money has grown, it has become an entirely different. It's become an entirely different relationship with media, with fans, and also that you're no longer just a athlete anymore. You're a brand. You're a star. And I do think that money changes everybody. Well, I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule, but it is really hard to not let money or fame affect you. And when you get both to the level that these athletes are getting it and as young as they're getting it, it fundamentally changes you forever. And we talked about this when you were you stepped out the day that you had to leave early. Me and Mike were talking about this, and I brought up the point when people blame athletes now for jumping ship or not having any loyalty. I'm a believer of nurture over nature. I think most of our behaviors are learned behavior. I don't think you come out of the womb a certain way. You may be hardwired or maybe predispositioned to be a certain way, but ultimately it's learned behavior that from when you're a kid that forms you into an adult. And the other part to this is it's not just the money, but from the time most of these kids are 10, 12, you know, years old, they're singled out as stars, whether it's in the game of golf, right? When Tiger Woods was, what, 3-4 years old, he's on national television swinging a golf club, right? By the time LeBron James was 12 years old, he's already anointed as the chosen one. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16, and you're playing for AAU teams, and what are you? You're a hired gun. There's nothing about youth sports anymore in our culture that teaches anyone about team or teaches anyone about loyalty. It teaches you to get to the bigs, get as much money as you can, and build a brand and become rich and become famous. Kids aren't growing up wanting to dream about winning NBA titles or winning majors. They're growing up to dream about being a celebrity, being rich, and building their own brand. And it's a very selfish culture that kids are being raised into. And then at a young age, you're throwing with them ungodly amounts of money to go along with fame. And this is what the recipe is. It's like these are the ingredients, and then we're surprised when the cake turns out a certain way.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm surprised by it. I just think it just gives me a laugh. It's just so much different, you know. And that's just the way it is now.
And yet, until people stop consuming it, there's no reason for these athletes to
this
be
is
any other way.
My preface with it all was it doesn't really bother me. It's just an observation. Like I like sports for entertainment, and some of these guys make me laugh, and it's just like they're an eye roll.
Yeah.
But it's just more and more and more of that, you know.
Yeah.
That it seems like in today's sports stars.
But Anthony Davis can be a jackass. Antonio Brown, or excuse me, Mr. Big Chest. And Everyone will still...
See, there you go. Right there.
Everyone will line up for him.
What is that?
Mr. Big Chest.
That's what he wants to be called now, by the way.
He wants to be called Mr. Big Chest.
What?
I don't know.
I mean...
I don't know. I.
You guys are so funny.
I think he is a little bit... I think he's a little bit off the rocker. Maybe a few fries short of the Happy Meal.
Well, I still love my golf. And I still love my football.
Did you see Phil's sexy calves?
I did. He's got nice calves.
I would not have pictured Phil with good stems.
Yeah, he's wearing shorts.
Yeah, he's a little portly. I guess you can wear them now in pro-ams and practice rounds. Go Phil's gams.
Look at golf just relating to people.
Yeah,
with
the
shorts.
The every man with shorts.
Oh, man. Good times. All right. Coming up next. Ooh, John Wayne.
Yeah.
Is alive and well.
No, he's super dead.
How about this? Dead and not well.
Yeah, dead in a reputation that's taken one of the chops.
So he is trending today. We'll get to that. And I have a TV note to tell you coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.